Our money and the way we spend it matters. What can we do to make sure we make wise decisions, and how can we discover the secrets to financial contentment?
Today on Real Family Talk, we will discuss this important topic as we delve deep into practical strategies and expert advice on managing finances in marriage. Join us. Welcome to Real Family Talk. During this episode, we are discussing managing finances in marriage.
Money can be a source of tension or a tool for building stronger relationship. It can either break or make a marriage. Money is not just a currency. The way we spend is a reflection of our values, our aspirations, and our priorities. It is important for every marriage to have the necessary tools and know-how to make wise financial decisions together. In today's episode, we are joined by Dennis Carlson, who will share practical strategies to empower any marriage, whether newlyweds or seasoned partners, to live a life of financial contentment.
Dennis holds a BA in accounting and an MBA in personal financial planning. He currently serves as the Director of Planned Giving and Trust Services at the world headquarters of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Dennis, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, you've worked in finance for some time, and you've met with many people over the years and have seen financial trends. How important is it for families to talk about finances?
Well, Elaine and Willie, it's a pleasure for me to be here, and I just hope that what we talk about today will make a difference in some families that are watching.
Absolutely.
When I didn't grow up knowing all these things, I went clear through financial school and had no training on how to handle my personal finances. And it was only after I graduated that I learned about how to handle finances God's way. And that is communicating to each other.
Absolutely.
God has a very distinct interest in the success of our families, and especially in the financial area. I mean, in all the areas, but financials especially, because the Bible talks about the finances of and how to handle finances and possessions more than just about any other topic that you read about in Scripture.
That's true. That's true.
And so, talking together as families is how you get on the same page, and that's how you need to be able to manage your finances better, is to be working together as a team.
So recent research shows that a large percentage of American families struggle to make ends meet. What is the current financial position of families across the United States?
I just read an interesting survey that was done in 2023. 49% of people live paycheck to paycheck year-round.
Wow.
And then in addition to that, another 22% live paycheck to paycheck at least part of the year. In other words, 72% of people are living paycheck to paycheck or right on the edge of disaster.
That's a high percentage.
And so, you know, 50% of people have less than $500 in the bank, in the savings account. 38% have less than $100 in their checking account. 36% have less than $100 in savings, which is where you would take care of emergencies if they came along. And 28% have had an overdraft during the year. In fact, 6% say that it's a regular occurrence that they're having overdrafts on their transaction accounts in the bank. And interestingly enough, millennials are the worst offenders.
That's interesting, isn't
it? Oh, wow.
It is. You would think, you know, that they would be the ones that would be best. But 33% of millennials say that they have a regular overdraft and take those expenses in their bank account.
That, you know, that's really amazing that you have these kinds of numbers in the United States of America, perhaps the leading economy in the world, and where the standard of living is pretty high. that individuals will be that close to the margin every single month tells us something about either people are not making enough money or they are not managing the money that they're making.
And that's probably the latter is probably the one that's true because, you know, people look at the United States and people that live in the United States as being wealthy.
Yes.
Right.
But wealth, true wealth, only comes when you actually manage your money well and you have money to take care of emergencies. You're not right on the edge of disaster all the time, which these statistics, I mean, the good news, there's no 100%s here.
Yes.
But that means there's are people that are doing it correctly, and we certainly want to
congratulations
applaud those
yes,
yeah. people that they are managing their money well. But there's the other part of the population that is right on the edge of disaster, and that's, I think, who this program is designed to help along, because it doesn't have to be that way.
Absolutely.
I mean, many people think because of their ethnic group or their educational level, that they're doomed to live paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. That couldn't be further than the truth.
Right. So talk to us a little bit more about that living paycheck to paycheck and what causes the cycle and what can people start doing to break the cycle?
Well, living paycheck to paycheck usually is living without a plan. And having a spending plan, I like that term a little better than budget. Sometimes yes. people are a little threatened by budget.
Yes.
You know, they think that's going to be a straitjacket that I can't do what I want to do. A spending plan actually enables you to be able to do the things you want to do, to reach your goals financially, and to support your family, take care of the needs of your family. All that comes as a result of planning.
I really like that terminology, spending plan. It sounds so much better than budget.
Right. And, it sounds like you still can get a little ice cream if you need it.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, we're not promoting in any way dairy.
Right. Well, you know, there's vegan ice cream.
Yeah, there you go.
But what it conveys, though, is that now you take control of how you spend and what you spend your money on. And so how can families begin this spending plan?
The easiest way is to find a good source, and one that I really enjoy and I've actually been a facilitator for is Financial Peace University.
Yeah.
And the reason I like Financial Peace University is that it's aimed at the majority of people in the world, where people like me, I've grown up with, you know, a degree in accounting, you know, MBA, you know, finances really make a lot of sense to me. But there's a lot of people that it does not make a lot of sense to. Financial Peace University, it's 80% on changing your behavior, and that's what's going to make a difference in your spending plan. And then only 20% on financial knowledge in your head.
That's yeah. powerful.
Well, you know what? This has been terrific, but we need to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue with Dennis Carlson speaking about how to manage finances in marriage. Stay with us. Today on Real Family Talk, we are talking about managing finances in marriage and how to find balance and contentment while doing so. We're talking with financial expert Dennis Carlson to help expand our understanding of this very important issue. Dennis, thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, so Dennis, before the break, you were telling us about how many families are living paycheck to paycheck. And now we want to kind of dive a little deeper and find out how can we stop living paycheck to paycheck. And how much money should we have in savings? And how do we begin to get on a plan where we can change behavior, as you said earlier?
When you've been living paycheck to paycheck on a continual basis, that becomes a habit. And now you have to break that habit. And you have to make a choice. And it's best, as we talked about before the break, to make that choice together as a family, where you're both on the same page and you are dedicated and committed to making this happen. And so having a plan in place, as we talked about, is where you start, because you have to learn how much your expenses are. And if you don't have a plan, most people probably don't know what their monthly expenses are. And so having that in place is the start to making a change in your personal finances. If you don't have an emergency fund in place, if you're broke like we talked about before, getting $1,000 in the bank that can be used for emergencies is the first thing you want to do.
You know, that's really important information. And what I liked about what you said was have that conversation together, because money plays such a pivotal role in the level of relationship that husbands and wives have. So being on the same page and just will help to manage the environment of the home. Now, you're talking about the importance of this this plan, this money, this emergency money that people need to have in the bank. Does inflation has anything to do with that? And should we be concerned about, well, you may say $1,000, but $1,000 under what economy? You know, economies go and up and down. So does that factor in?
Yeah, the $1,000 is just the beginner. And that's just to try to...
It's just a baseline.
It's just to try to get beyond the most immediate and urgent emergencies that might come up. 3 to 6 months of your expenses is really what you need to have in an emergency fund. And that's money that's set aside. It's like an insurance. You're not trying to invest it for growth or anything like that. It's money that's easily able to be accessed and be used to take care of an emergency. Your transmission goes out in your car. If you've got 3 to 6 months of money readily available in the bank, that's not a problem. You go get it fixed.
Right.
If you're all of a sudden you lose your job, you have 3 to 6 months in the bank. It's not an emergency anymore.
You're not as anxious.
It's not a good thing, but it's something that you have 3 to 6 months that you can pay your expenses while you're looking for a new job.
Right, yes. But Dennis, okay, so you said most families have been living paycheck to paycheck. How in the world now is this family living paycheck to paycheck going to be able to begin? Where do they start? 3 to 6 months, that just seems like a lot.
Well, you know, if they take Financial Peace University, it's 9 lessons, it will walk them through how to do this. But making that spending plan, and that's one of the most important lessons in the Financial Peace University, is that you make a spending plan where you start spending less than you make. That's really as simple as it gets. You spend less than you make, and you take that extra and you start saving it, and that's how you develop that $1,000 in the beginning. And then the 3 to 6 months in expenses as you go down. It may take you 2 or 3 years to do this,
yes,
but that's your goal.
That and if you're working, a priority.
If you're working that together as a team, as a family, this goal can be accomplished.
So what I'm hearing you say that it keeps you from impulse shopping, you know, which is why people are in trouble, because invariably they're impulse shopping.
Well, because there's a sale
Costco. And there's always a sale. And what they don't realize is that the sale is not really a sale. It's just a gimmick to get you to get into the store and then buy stuff that you don't really need. You know, my dad used to say, what you can't afford, you don't need. And I've found that concept, that notion, that value, a very helpful one. Think about it. You know, if you can't afford it, you don't need it, because if you buy it and you can't afford it, you get yourself into bigger debt and bigger trouble and bigger anxiety. And people spend to be less anxious, except if you spend what you don't have, you're going to be more anxious.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, that's the key to what we're talking about here, is that you, with that plan, you know what you are going to spend before you walk into the store.
Right. I recently heard someone say, you know, I didn't make my regular Costco, which is that warehouse wholesale place here in the United States where everything is in bulk. And they said, I didn't make the stop, and I saved $400 on, you know, because like you go in, you're only going to buy blueberries or something, and then you end up spending a lot of money. But I want to just hone in a little bit on what you said about millennials, because there's a lot in the news today about millennials saying that they just cannot afford to live. Like things, inflation is different, you know, interest rates are different, they can't buy homes. And so what do you say to these young adults and even Gen Zs? How can they live in this economy?
Well, it's interesting you asked that question. I have a daughter who is a millennial. And I think you may also have a daughter that is a millennial.
Yes.
And my daughter grew up with seeing us, my wife and I, model what we're talking about here today. And I included her in our family finances, and at an age-appropriate level.
Yeah.
Where from very small, when it was maybe just turning in our family offering envelope at church, she loved doing that. I could put it in the plate, but she loved putting it in the plate. Yeah. As she got older, then it was, I had her help me make our spending plan for our family. Mm-hmm. And a little later, when she was a teenager, I had her help me do our taxes.
Yeah. Right.
And so she, when she got out there, she knew how to do these things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where, as parents, and that doesn't maybe help millennials that are there now.
Right.
But as parents, we can help our children by passing along to them the values that we have developed, maybe through hard knocks.
Yes.
In the personal finance area. But again, millennials can also take Financial Peace University and learn it now. There's never a better time to do it than right now, and you'll be on your road towards not living paycheck to paycheck.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break now, but we will come back with Dennis Carlson after this break, and he'll share with us practical guidelines that families can follow to manage their finances. Stay with us. We're back on Real Family Talk with financial expert Dennis Carlson. We are discussing managing finances in marriage.
Dennis, we've been talking about being prudent, making good decisions about finances in the family. From the very beginning, God spoke about this and told us about this. Can you talk a little bit about that and the fact that we're not just getting this out of thin air, but actually, they're biblical principles, and God was specific about what He wanted us to do.
Well, as everybody who lives on this earth, we all are managing for God, because God owns everything.
That's
and,
right.
And if we're going to put God first in our lives, we have to look at ourselves as just managing God's possessions and God's money.
Yes.
And so with probably if people start in the book of Proverbs would be a good starting point. If you're going to read and want to get Bible information about how to handle your personal finances and possessions, Proverbs probably condenses much of that. I mean, it's throughout the Bible, but Proverbs is a good place to start.
Good. And actually, also, we see it right at the very beginning of time, right in Genesis 1, that God created man to take care of the earth. So that is stewardship, in fact, and that is a responsibility about how we manage the goods that God has left on earth for us, for our own good.
That's exactly right. And Adam and Eve were the first stewards.
That's right.
That were managing God's possessions that God had just created, but created for them, for their benefit.
Yes.
And God is very interested in us being successful financially. I mean, show me the poor patriarch in the Bible, other than Job for a few months, maybe, who was homeless. But God wants us to be successful. And if we'll follow His wisdom that He's given in Scripture, He will bless us and guide us as we make our plans,
yes,
and follow his direction in managing his possessions.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how can people gain control of their money, and what practical tips can you give to people about changing their spending habits?
Well, the changing your spending habits happens with a plan, as we've talked about, and putting together a spending plan. And it's not something that you have to be afraid of. I mean, a spending plan is may take a little time to get used to doing, two or three.
It's scary for people.
It is. And, yeah. But, you know, and you're not going to do it right the first time, but you just don't give up and you keep working on that plan. And eventually it becomes habit, just yeah. like living paycheck to paycheck was habit. Now this, having a spending plan in place becomes habit as
I
well.
Like that.
And so you've, you know, give yourself 3 to 6 months, you know, to make that plan work for your family.
So invariably you're shifting from a bad habit to a good habit, you know, and about habit, I like to say that habit is a very difficult thing to get rid of, you know, H-A-B-I-T. So we need to be very careful. If you don't have, if you take away the H, you have a bit. If you take away the A, you have bit. If you take away the B, you have it. So make a good habit so that it'd be difficult to break.
Yeah, so tell us what other tips you have. You mentioned some websites or apps that people can use.
Well, you can make your plan using paper, but really today, most people are using their computers or their even their smartphones to be able to make their plans. There are many apps out there that will help you in budgeting or making a spending plan. Probably one of the ones that I saw that was the most popular is You Need a Budget.
Yeah.
It's actually YNAB.
Yes.
And some of these have a cost. This is based on a zero-based budget. In other words, you have every dollar with a name on it before you spend it, when you receive your money. Good Budget is kind of modeled after the envelope system. Some of the older folks used to use envelopes to put money in, so when the envelope was empty,
No more spending.
That's right. Good Budget actually has a free version, but there also is a premium version. And then there's one called Every Dollar, which is also based zero-based budgeting, where every dollar has a name before you spend it. And this one, they have a basic free version, but if you really want all the bells and whistles, then you have to pay for the premium version.
So tell me about the person who doesn't have an app, doesn't have an iPhone or smartphone, and they just have good old paper and pencil. How can they develop a plan?
Well, I'm sure that's not a millennial, but that's how I started, was using pen and pencil, and then I eventually moved that to a spreadsheet that I use on my computer. But you can do it just as easily. It's not quite as, you know, it takes a little more effort. You know, you have to use a calculator, which a lot of people don't know what that is anymore. But you have to use a calculator to add up the columns and make sure that everything comes out less than what you make, less than your income. Your
right.
expenses come out less than your yeah. income. But it can be done on paper.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing. I used to be an accountant as well and back in the day. And I think for so many people, like, numbers are so frightening. So even people who have apps, even millennials, it's frightening for them. So I think, like, if you could just say, look, this is how much money I bring in, just like we did with our children, because we did the same thing with our children, as you mentioned, with your daughter, and 10% goes to tithe, 5% for your offering,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of it, you know, so you can just write this down and do it that way. Tell us just a little bit about the importance, and we only have a few minutes left, about the importance of tithing.
Well, part of when you're looking towards changing a habit from living paycheck to paycheck to having a plan that actually works for your family, where you're taking care of the needs of your family, is you're wanting God's blessing.
That's right.
And to enable that blessing, you need to be faithful to God. I mean, God blesses us whether we're faithful or not. But to really see the blessings of God, we need to be faithful in following what He tells us in Scripture we should be doing. And tithes and offerings, You don't want to be robbing God because he owns everything. And so we don't want to be robbing God because he can share those assets and possessions with you.
Thank you so much, Dennis. The information you've shared has been invaluable. About managing our finances well, Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." May God be with you as you endeavor to be faithful in the management of your finances in the days ahead.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.